question for Jackie looking for verify your flight returns for over 5 years exposure. Because that's giving an indication of your salary.
Now the bread is my card.
We want
I'm coming from Saturday, yeah. Saturday.
When do we fly to Japan?
Yes.
To where? To Devon. You want to fly to
When?
They said Tuesday to Friday. To come.
Go to the where's the problem?
Madam. Why can you take
it? Okay. Okay.
Honourable members, I think we need to start with the meeting. Let me officially declare this meeting open and also take this opportunity to welcome the delegation from the Western Cape Province. Also acknowledge in our midst the honourable members who are at this meeting today. And also to acknowledge in our midst the officials from the select committee and also a rep from PMG. Without any waste of time, the meeting is officially opened. In terms of apologies, any apology? Any other apology?
Chair would like to tell an apology for the MEC, for local government, for the Western Cape, Minister Anton Bodel, and the HOD, Mr. Graham Paulson, because of prior commitments, they couldn't attend to this meeting because we only received the invitation on Thursday.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, Honourable Michaelides has asked to be apologised. He's got other meetings he needs to attend to. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Because apologies are administrative in nature, I don't think we'll be in a position to discuss the apologies for now. So we'll go to item number four. In fact, if we check in terms of the agenda, we have invited also the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs from Mpumalanga. This is subsequent to the oversight visit that was held in Mpumalanga. So unfortunately, the MEC and her department were also invited to appear before the portfolio committee. So it was two conflicting programs. So we have permitted that they can be excused for today. You are noted, honorable member, I'll give you a chance after. So for today, we would only focus on the briefing by the Department of Local Government in Western Cape around the Section 47 reports. Honourable Member Engelbart.
Mr. Chair, thanks very much. I think something that we really need to discuss is the fact that whenever we request departments or provinces to come and appear before our committee, it appears to be a problem with our administration. I get very concerned when the Western Cape tells us they were only informed on Thursday that they had to be here today, Tuesday. So surely that there's a problem with our administration if we do not give departments a minimum of 2 weeks notice in terms of appearing before committees, because it appears to be a general problem. So I really would like that to be addressed.
Yes, can we reserve it as soon as we are done with this, the first session of the presentation? Any other input on the agenda? None. So it means the only item that we'll be focusing on, it will be a briefing by Western Cape Department of Local Government. Our focus area was supposed to be on 2013-2014, but we felt and deemed it fit that we must cater for both 2013-2014 and 2014-2015 financial years in terms of the of the Section 47 reports. May I take this opportunity to introduce myself? My name is Jihad Mohapi. I'm the chairperson of the committee representing First State.
My name is J.M. Tetra. Permanent delegate from KwaZulu-Natal, also a whip of the committee. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Dumisani Klimbi, a permanent delegate from the Western Cape, member of the committee.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson. Good morning to everybody. My name is Tabiso Wana, presenting the province of the Eastern Cape as a permanent delegate. Thank you.
Good morning. Ken na khala re ko manopole lokula committee ho jwa ka pabukolo.
Good morning, Bronwyn Engelbrecht representing Gauteng.
Tower. Dina la ka ke nna slam ra wa ga thole ya. O tswa ko Limpopo. Tower.
Good morning, my name is Magan Chetty, permanent delegate, KZN.
Thank you very much. Can I then offer the delegation from the province, Western Cape?
Yeah, good morning. My name is Kwesi Harof. I'm the acting chief director for municipal performance monitoring and support from the Department of Local Government, Western Cape.
Good morning, members. Kamal McCann, Director of Municipal Governance, Department of Local Government, and here with my acting chief director. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. In case you want to engage Honorable Mteta, you'll be afforded an opportunity. Honorable members, like I indicated, our focus will be on the 2013-2014-2015 financial layers, focusing on the Section 47 report. Section 47 report deals with the annual performance of the municipality, giving us the provincial scope. Without much ado, allow me to give the Western Cape an opportunity to do a presentation. Can I make an upfront appeal? You are appearing before this committee in terms of Section 69 of the Constitution, which means anything that you'll be raising should be seen in the spirit of one that is making oath before this committee. Would appreciate, honorable members, in case there's any information that you feel you don't have it with you, based on the questions that we pose to you, it's fair enough for you to give an indication that you can always make a later submission of the report in case you don't have it. Then lastly, because it's a report that has been prepared by your good self, would appreciate that you don't read for us, but instead you speak to your slides or you talk to your slides. I think it will be well appreciated. Honourable members, I think copies were circulated electronically. We would also wish to ensure that we take note of any input that would further engage as soon as the presentation is completed. Without any waste of time, let me afford the Western Cape. I'm not sure who's going to do the presentation. Thank you very much. Can I afford Western Cape an opportunity to do the presentation?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much, Chair. Can I just get an indication on the time that I'm allowed in terms of my presentation? Yes, the time. There must be a time limit, I assume.
Honourable Member?
I'm giving the Honourable Official a time of 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, 10 minutes is too long. Engelbrecht?
Mr. Chi, with all due respect, there's no way you can go through financial reporting in 10 minutes. There's no way we can do this report justice. So I really
realistic.
Just don't agree with that.
How much time do you want?
No.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. I normally present at the Standing Committee for the Western Cape, so I say 20 minutes to 30 minutes maximum.
Okay, can you say 20 minutes presentation, then the remaining 10 minutes will be for engagement, clarity-seeking questions.
Yeah.
Thank you
very much, Chair. Chair, good morning, colleagues, Chair. It's really a privilege to be here this morning to present to you the 2013-14 Consolidated Municipal... Good morning, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members and colleagues. It's a privilege really to present to you the Consolidated Annual Municipal Performance Report for the 2013-14 financial year. The first slide deals with what is the process that we follow in this compiling the Section 47 report. And what you will see there is basically because there is no legislated date. In terms of the consolidated report, we have sort of identified a process starting from August, ending in March, to compile the information for the Section 47 report. So the first slide primarily gives you an indication as to what is the process that we follow. Then in terms of the methodology, what is the methodology that we follow to compile this report? And the methodology involves using different sources, and I've listed them there, in terms of the Section 46 reports of the municipalities, their annual financial statements, and also departmental reports, the Provincial Economic Review and Outlook, as well as the Municipal Economic Review and Outlook, and also the database from Stats SA, the Provincial Treasury Database, and the Auditor General Report. That is the sources that we are using to compile the Section 47 report. The next slide deals with the structure of the report, basically three sections. First one, the introduction. Secondly, the analysis of the performance of municipalities. And then also the third part, what are we doing as a province to support municipalities? In terms of the overview, I don't want to bore you with the detail of the legislation because I know, Honourable Members, that you are quite acquainted and familiar with the legislation. I'm going to go straight to the performance of the municipalities in the Western Cape. And the third section primarily deals with the municipal managers and the Section 56 posts in the province. Now, in the financial year under review, 2013-14, you will see that out of 158 posts in the province, 149 municipal managers and senior manager posts were full. So there was a vacancy rate in the province of 6%, and the previous year, if you compare it with the previous year, there was a 9%, so it was reduced by at least 3%. Now, in the cases where there were no municipal managers or senior managers, we had people that were acting in those position. And then a very important point here. 26 women were appointed in senior management positions in the province, which is a slight increase compared to the previous financial year. But it's not where we really want. We want to see that total increase. And I want to stress that point. That it's of the utmost importance that we really should ensure that women are well represented at senior management level, because I think we as men, we're still sitting with a problem to address that, but we need to address that issue. If we can go to the next part, and that's the skills development, we see that all the municipalities have submitted their work skills plans, and in terms of skills development initiatives, various sort of initiatives were actually provided with municipalities in the province. In terms of PMS, the issue of performance management is a critical and important issue in municipalities. And we can see here that all 30 municipalities in the province, they have adopted their PSM frameworks or systems. However, what is concerned is that only 17 of the 30 municipalities has cascaded down to the different levels within the municipality, which is a concern, because I'm saying that how do we measure? How do we measure performance if we don't have performance management systems in place within municipalities? And people will come with all sorts of excuses to tell you, but how do you measure the work of a general worker, a street sweeper? How do you measure? And they come with all different excuses. But I'm saying that if you work in a municipality, if you perform in an organization, there must be a system in place to measure your performance. So we see in the previous year, there were only 7. In 2013-14, there was 17. So a slight improvement. And you will see in 2013-14, we have actually focused on this thing to improve it. You will see it slightly higher. In terms of Tusong services, we all know that our people are living in some remote areas in the rural areas. It's difficult for them to get to town to access services. Hence the importance of the Tusong service. And we will see in the Western Cape that we have established in the year under review Tusong centers in Mosselbay, Cape Agulhas, that is Bodarsdorp, Kangaland, and also Tierwaterskloof. And these agreements were concluded with different departments, and we will see that in terms of the people that we reached, 31,440 citizens were reached, while the Tusong centers reached 1.2 million. The mobiles reached 31,000 people, while the centers reached 1.2 million people. In terms of ward committees, colleagues, honorable members, chair, public participation in this country is a problem. Not only in the Western Cape, but I think other provinces, they have the same experiences. And yes, our democracy is still young. It's not a mature democracy. But one of the important things in this country, we see how people go out on the streets on a daily basis, is because of lack of public participation. So in other words, the ward committee system must work well. And out of 387 wards in the province, only 354 were functional. In other words, 33 wards were not functional. And we have certain indicators, functionality indicators that we use to measure the functionality of our ward committees. So you will see that is of concern to us. In Stellenbosch, the greatest Stellenbosch, one of the richest municipalities in the province, we see that one award was not established. In terms of the CWP, the CWP has been implemented in 30 municipalities, and you see that the previous financial year, it was only 11. 7,748 work opportunities were created in the financial year under review. You will see that in the 2014-15, that has decreased, and I will speak to that later. Then partnerships were established with municipalities for the implementation of the CWP. In terms of anti-corruption, my colleague sitting next to me, Mr. Kamal Makan, he's spearheading this project, is the issue of anti-corruption and fraud prevention plans. 26 municipalities had the anti-corruption plans and fraud prevention plans adopted. But the Oudtshoorn, Prince Albert and Beaufort had draft plans. And we see 30 municipalities had ethics and anti-corruption committees established. The Premier asked me the question in Parliament the other day. How do you address the issue of corruption within municipalities? And I said to the Premier, when I lived and studied in Holland, Premier, one of the most important things that I saw is that you need to start in the school curriculum. Ethics and corruption should be part of the school curriculum. In other words, when the child grows up, he will grow up with the values that this is wrong, I'm not allowed to do this, this is not ethical. So when he's an adult, he will have that value system in him. So we need to start in the schools. In terms of internal audits, we see that all municipalities have internal audits, units, and it's only Central Karoo and Prince Albert in the Karoo that is really struggling, but they've outsourced their functions. In terms of compliance, colleagues, chair, honorable members, compliance is a big thing. Municipalities are complaining about the burden of compliance, but we need to comply with certain laws and regulations in terms of our legislation. IDPs, 29 municipalities adopted IDPs. We all know the embattled Oudtshoorn municipality did not comply with the Act because there were problems in 2013-14. Draft budgets, all the municipalities except the Oudtshoorn did not comply. The SDBIPs, 29 municipalities submitted the SDBIPs, Oudtshoorn did not. In terms of the submission of the Section 72 reports, we will see that all the municipalities have complied in terms of the Section 72. Then in terms of the AFS, you will see there that all municipalities have really submitted. And what we are trying to do, Chair and honorable members, is where there's a problem in a municipality where they don't have the capacity, is really to deploy people to go and assist so that they can comply. We know that Kamerland was a municipality who had problems in the past with not submitting there, but we can now say that at least they are also complying now because we have really deployed people there to assist them. Annual reports, tabling 27 out of 30. And you will see there Oudtshoorn, Beaufort and Kamerland did not submit in time. Chair, am I doing well for time? 10 minutes? Thank you. In terms of the oversight reports, 28 municipalities who have tabled the annual reports, they adopted the oversight reports. And what we will see here, Chair, is that 25 of the municipalities who submitted the reports were received without reservation. Saldanha, Stellenbosch, Eden District municipalities approved with reservations, and Kamerland and Oudtshoorn did not provide the information to the department. The next issue is a very sensitive issue. The issue, the provision of service delivery. I'm not a politician. I've been in government 30 years. 30 years, but what I'm saying, colleagues, is that we need to make sure that each and every person have access to water, electricity. I grew up in the Eastern Cape in a place called Gavenet. Echavu. Where people are still using the bucket system. And I say 20 years. 20 years in democracy is unacceptable. Our people must have access to these services. The dignity of people is very important. Provision of services, 98% water, 98% electricity, 98% sanitation, 98% refuse removal. But I must also say to you this morning, Chair and honorable members, in some areas, especially in the place where I'm coming from, in the area, in the Karoo, we still have problems with people on the farms who don't have access on the outlying farms to basic services. And we have engaged with the farmers because the farmers will tell you, you're not coming here to tell me what to do on my land. But all that we're saying to the farmers is give the people dignity,
provide them with services. We will even come and assist you in that regard. Then in terms of free basic services, Chair, we, the Western Cape, we ensure we monitor this on a quarterly basis, and I'm responsible for my unit. We're under director. I'm responsible for the monitoring of free basic services to the indigent households. People can't afford, we make sure that it gets rolled out to all those households. And when there's a problem, we go out and we assist the municipality to make sure that the people receive the free basic services. In terms of the municipal infrastructure grant, big expenditure at June 2014 was at 97.8. We have a proud record here, but you will see that in 2012-13, we had 100% big expenditure. So if you ask me what happened there, I'll explain to you later, but we had some problems there, and there's the explanation in Vredendaal. In terms of housing delivery, the slide on provision of human settlements, there we can see that there's a positive trend in this regard, and we see that there was houses built, 12,681 compared to the 13,128. And let me also add this. When you go to a municipal meeting, Chair and honorable members, the only thing that people want on that agenda is housing. And they don't care whose mandate is it. They want the municipality to tell them on what are they going to do. They don't, let me tell you something. Being 30 years in government, I'm telling you, the people don't distinguish between local, national, and provincial government. They understand government as government. Hence, when it comes to the services, and they want services, they keep us all accountable. They come, but they come to the local government and say, you must deliver these services to us. And if you come and explain to them, but there's a distinction, there's mandates, they don't understand mandates. They want services. That's all. In terms of, let's go to the LED. LED, there you will see the EPWP work opportunities that were created on that slide. I'm not going to bore you with the detail. If we can go to the budget. The revenue budget for the Western Cape was 39.8 billion. The total expenditure budget was 37.9 billion. Capital expenditure, 6.3 billion, or 81% of the adjusted budget of 7.8 billion. In terms of debt management, which is a problem, that's why municipalities are struggling financially. Total debtors were 8.4 billion rand, total debtors. Water services debtors were the highest at 2.45 billion. In terms of the audit outcomes, there you can see the graph there. I'm not going to bore you with the detail. I'm almost done. We can see that there's an improvement in terms of the audit outcomes for municipalities in 2013-14. We had 17 clean audits and then 13 unqualified audits. In conclusion, Chair, the last section deals with what have we done as a province to assist our municipalities. The first thing that we started, and Minister Pravin Gordhan, when I was still with the Treasury, I used to work for the Treasury for 10 years, when I was still with the Treasury, when we implemented or introduced this project in 2012, the MGRO, the Municipal Governance Review and Outlook Program, it was primarily to say that how do we improve governance in municipalities? How do we then take governance to the next level? And I can say, I can tell you now, since the inception of this project, the MGRO project, we have now, you will see in the next financial year, we have now 23 clean audits within the province, because this process of the end group is really where we go and we assist municipalities and we bring stakeholders like the AG on board to make sure that municipalities comply and improve the governance in municipalities. So there's the end group. Then we also have what we call the predetermined objectives. You know that the AG is putting a lot of emphasis on the PDOs. We've also started a project in 2012 under my leadership to assist municipalities to improve their PDOs. And I can say to you now, we only have one problem in the Western Cape. Only one, and that's in the central corridor. And we're busy now helping them to see that they improve their PDOs.
Then SEM intervention and also other asset management initiatives were also provided to municipalities, and then the department also provided municipal governance assistance, capacity building, and also we had performance monitoring workshops. In conclusion, I still have 3 minutes here. Improvement in governance is of the utmost importance for us, but also coupled with that, improvement in service delivery. Because you're going to have a clean audit, but your people don't have water and sanitation. It's not going to help us. The next thing, there's still municipalities in the Western Cape are still experiencing challenges with planning and budgeting. It is a major concern, and we are assisting them to improve that. In fact, yesterday was the last engagement for the integrated municipal governance approach that we now have in Mosselbay, where we assess municipalities, assist them, with the planning, and then the next focus will be on the budgets in April, May, to assist them. What we call in the Western Cape the LGMTEC process, the Local Government Medium Term Expenditure Committee process. Then, Chair, the third thing is, and I think most of the municipalities in the country have this problem, is the financial sustainability of municipalities. Because municipalities are relying on government grants, most of the municipalities, to survive. And we say that it's not sustainable. Because government can't just give. Municipalities must be able to stand on their own feet. It's like a father with a child, when children just come and ask, "Daddy, I want more money every month," and he doesn't learn to stand on his own feet. He must become sustainable. He must become a person that will be able to provide for himself. That's ultimately why we raise children. Performance management is still a challenge. I've alluded to that earlier on. And then, colleagues, a major problem in the country, in the Western Cape, is the maintenance of our infrastructure. I was in Kanaland, Ladysmith, the other day. Colleagues, I'm saying to you, the potholes, the pipes are 30, 40 years old. There's no repairs and maintenance budgets in municipalities, and that is a huge challenge. And then in conclusion, I've alluded to that. I don't want to dwell much on this one, the issue of public participation. How do we ensure that our people become involved in municipal processes? How do we ensure that we become, or municipalities have, what we call citizen-centric governance? But I was asked the other day to replace that word citizen-centric. The city manager of Cape Town asked me to replace that word in the academic terms with customer-centric governance, where we look at the customers. Chair, honorable members, that is the performance of the municipalities in a nutshell for 2013-14. Thank you.
Honourable members, quickly, is it not advisable that the delegate also cater for 2014-2015 so that as and when we engage holistically? Well, the report might overlap, Honourable Terejang. Oh no, it's fine. Can you afford him any opportunity? Okay. No, thanks. So you can quickly reflect on 2014-2015 so that as and when we engage on the both report. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. I promise I will be shorter on this one. 10 minutes, because you will see the process and stuff are basically the same. So all that I want to point out is, if we can go to page 3 of the presentation, 158 senior managers and municipal managers positions were filled, and you will see there was a 7.2 vacancy rate in the province. And in terms of women appointed, now you see 21 were appointed compared to the previous year of 26. So there was a slight increase compared to the previous year of 26, decrease there. If we can go to the skills development, that is basically the same as the previous year. The ward committees, there was improvement from 354 in 2013-14 to 386. So what we've done, we have identified those municipalities who were struggling with their ward committees, and you will see there that was there was a slight improvement to 386. Community workers program. In the previous financial year, you saw that there were 7,748 opportunities that were created. In this financial year, there was a decrease to 6,890. Then in terms of anti-corruption, that is more or less the same. Then in terms of the internal audit committees within municipalities, you will see there also the information is more or less stable for that year. However, I want to go to the compliance monitoring. You will see there's a slight difference. Adoption of our final IDPs in the previous year, there were 29. In this year, all 30 municipalities complied. They submitted their IDP. Because what we did, we deployed a team to Oudtshoorn to go and assist to make sure that they comply with the IDP submission. Draft budget, all municipalities submitted, same with the SDBIP, same with the with the mid-year section 72, with the annual financial statements, all municipalities submitted, and all 30 also for 2014-15 submitted or tabled their annual reports. Third, in terms of oversight reports, you will see there's a slight difference. 28 tabled the reports, 24 municipalities approved the annual reports compared to 25 the previous year without reservation. And then we see there's Saldana, Neisner and Eden approved with reservations. And Witzenberg, Oudtshoorn, Bitto, Central Karoo District did not provide any information. Now in terms of service delivery. In the previous financial year, Chair, you would see that it was 98%. But now for this financial year, under review, households with water access was 95%. And the others dropped to 94%. And you can ask the question immediately, but why was there a drop in the delivery of services to these households? It's the increase in pressure speed, people coming from all over the country to the Western Cape, people looking for better work opportunities and also better opportunities for their children. So there's an increase of people coming in and that's putting pressure on the municipalities. In terms of free basic services, once again, the same story there. We ensure that all 30 municipalities that they provide, or 25 municipalities, that they provide the individual households with the necessary services. The municipal infrastructure grant. My municipality where I come from in the Eastern Cape, Kamdeboer, they give their money back to Treasury every year on MIG. They don't spend the money. But when you go to my mother's house and you see the streets there, I left the place 30 years ago. You must look at the potholes in the streets. Can't believe it. But here, MIG, you will see that the MIG for 2014-15, compared to the previous year, it was 97.8. Now it was 97.4. Because some of the municipalities had problems with the appointment or the procurement of certain contractors. That is a major issue that we are trying to address. Then in terms of housing, you will see there what I've done, they have given you the grant for the 3 years and then also for the last 3 years in terms of the delivery of houses, and you will see the trend there, what has happened there in that graph. Then, Chair, in terms of the budget, performance against budget, you will see there that the total operation budget was 39.8 billion in 2013. In the 2014-15, it was 41.4 billion. Total operating expenditure in 2013-14, 37.9. In 2015, 38.2. In terms of capital expenditure, CAPEX, it was 6.3 billion and in this year under review 7.8. Now, in terms of debt management, total debtors were 8.42 billion, and outstanding debtors on water services were 2.45. Household debt, you will see, is increasingly going there to 6.372. I must say, I'm not sure about the total debt. I will just make 100% sure about that one, because I see it's the same as the previous year, and it can't be the same. So I will follow up with it. My apologies for that one. I will just make sure that we look at that one. My apologies for that one. In terms of the audit outcomes, the Western Cape, for the last 5 years, you can see the increase in the clean or number of clean. But once again, I want to reiterate what I said earlier on. A clean audit doesn't mean that you are delivering services to your people. Yes, clean governance is a very important aspect, and we strive for that in the Western Cape. But I want to reiterate, services to the people are more important. We spend so much money, municipalities, on compliance, yet sometimes, there are people who are still using the bucket system. And we must eradicate the bucket system and give dignity to our people. In terms of the support, I've spoken to the MGRO, the Treasury assistance, and also the other assistance, but I want to say that we are on a daily, monthly, annual basis trying to see how we can improve the assistance to municipalities. Because I can say to you now, municipalities are under a lot of pressure. And then in conclusion, I've alluded earlier on to the fact that municipalities are under severe pressure when it comes to service delivery. And municipalities must be innovative and find ways to improve service delivery to the customers. Then colleagues, in 2014-15, we all know, honorable members, chair, electricity provision was a major issue. It was a major issue in some of our towns are struggling. You've heard on the news, Oudtshoorn, Cedarburg, Kannaland, how they struggle to pay Eskom. And Eskom threatened to switch off the lights. It was a major, but we have addressed the issue. We sat down with Eskom, we assisted the municipalities, and we said, you cannot get revenue from people, but then you don't pay to Eskom. You must pay Eskom. Then colleagues in the Western Cape and in some other parts in the Free State, there were drought shortages, and that is a major challenge for our municipalities in the Western Cape. And once again, public participation is the consultation issue. Do we really consult our citizens? We say that we're talking about citizen-centric governance, but are we really doing that in the bigger scheme of things? And then in the final analysis, what we picked up in the Western Cape is the issue of stakeholder governance. How do municipalities manage their relationship with their stakeholders? And it's not only the communities. I'm also talking about the AG, the Public Protector, the Human Rights Commission, SALGA, all the other institutions. Because it is important that municipalities must have a relationship with their stakeholders. And we have, from our side, we have tried to focus on that, to improve the relationship, the mistrust between municipalities and the stakeholders. Chair, honorable members, that is the review for 2014-15. I thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, can I get an indication by show of hands? Those that will be eager to pose clarity-seeking questions or comments on the two reports that were presented to us. Honorable Chetty, Honorable Engelbrecht, Honorable Kimbi, and Honorable Torejani, and Honorable Wana. Honorable Chetty.
Thanks, Chair. I'm not going to try and do all, Chair, because I'm sure other members want to raise and it might just overlap. So I might leave some out. Just firstly, Chair, we just heard
from the presenter that in his first presentation he spoke about the 26 women on page 3 and how important it was that we make sure we empower women, and that's what his words were. My concern is in 2014-15 you contradict yourself, because on 26 you're going to employ less women.
Yeah.
Now it's a concern when you raise the point that you've identified it as being something that should be a priority, and then you kind of renegade on it. So it's a concern, right? The next one, chairperson. Now, I'm also concerned when we do a copy, cut, and paste. And I say this why, because you alluded to the second mistake that you've read, but there's another one before that. And if you look on page 4, I'm glad, firstly, that you managed to establish the one ward in Stellenbosch. Yeah, the comparative chairs between 2013-2014.
Okay.
Just like the honorable course you have done. I've done the same thing because you're just copying my notes, Chair. That's an election note. Yeah. Yeah, so Chairperson, if we look at the second one on the analysis, okay?
No.
Yeah. On page 4.
Yes.
Now, you look at the analysis, okay?
Yes.
And I'm going to both the comparison between 2013-14 as well. Now, if you look at that, Chairperson, you've dealt, and I'm happy to see that you sort of Stellenbosch, because ward committees and the functioning of those wards are crucial to making sure services are close to the people. So that's good that you've dealt with it, which meant whatever you're doing this year, you went, I mean, on the 2014-15, you had a comparative against what you did wrong in 2013, okay? So you were doing that. It shows. You knew that the problem, you addressed it. But then tell me this much. How is it that the copy-paste community work program implemented in 30 municipalities increased compared to 11 in the previous year under CWP? Now that was for your 2013-14. Now look at your 2014-15. Now how can it be the same? Can you see where I'm coming from? Okay, now let's go to the next one. How is it we speak about 7,748 work opportunities created, yet you create the same, I mean you talk about the same template, but this time around you created less work because you only got 6,890. Based on what you gave me on the question before that, okay? Just to understand that. Now, we go back and speak about anti-corruption and fraud prevention. 26 municipalities had anti-corruption and fraud prevention plans adopted. Bitol, Old Shoreham and Prince Albert and Beaufort West had draft. Now, surely, next year, of the four, at least one of them should have got it right because you put pressure on them. But we see, it can't be right that the same municipalities do not comply what they should be doing. And what do we do? There should be some action taken. At least one of the four should have rectified it. A problem as to why that hasn't been done, whether the pressure was there or not. Again, you look at page 5. And I'm doing the comparison here because we've got both here. And surely the department, if they have identified those issues in this year, going forward for the next year, they should have made sure that things were done to rectify. And I don't expect you to get 100% compliance, but at least one out of the four should have complied. Now here, again, look at part B on page 5, analysis of municipal performances. You have the same problem. All had internal, excluding Kiru and Prince Albert, which outsourced. Now you know for a fact, municipal funding, you also mentioned the fact that they are cash strapped. Now outsourcing is like we should have it enough. We have a department, we pay the officials for that. Surely it shouldn't have been done. Again, yeah, you've identified that those two should have done it. They become repeated offenders, and that's my issue. What are we doing to curb them? It seems like the punishment isn't hard enough, so they just carry on. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that you're not doing anything. I'm just trying to... Now, only on the 2013-14, there's no comparison yet. Kana Land and Old Children did not provide the information. Now, surely, Chairperson, it can't be acceptable for these municipalities not to supply information. It can't be, irrespective of what the case is. They've got officials, they've got staff, everybody is there. This information should be given to us. That is an excuse that's unacceptable. You know, there has to be something more drastic than they just didn't give us the information. It's like the department says, sorry, we're not coming yet. Why not the department just say they're not coming yet? Doesn't help us. There has to be a valid reason to that. Chair, I won't take all. I'll leave some for my fellow colleagues here. I'm keeping some for them here.
Don't own yourself, my brother. Are you done on our chat?
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you very much. Can I give Honorable Engelbert?
In terms of the performance management system, I'd just like to know, is it an integrated performance management system? Is it the same system used across all municipalities? And if you could then just inform us, what is the system that you're using? And then in terms of your municipalities that are not adhering to the PMS, what are you doing about that, or how are you motivating or let's say motivating the municipalities to do the performance management system? And then in terms of the ward committees, do you pay the ward members, ward committee members? And what is that payment? I'm not finished. Hang on. Okay. And then in terms of indigent households, if you could give us a percentage of indigent households or maybe numbers so that we've got an idea of what we're looking at. And then how does the department control illegal connections? I know it's a municipal function, but it does affect the performances and it does affect the budget. And then what is the relationship with illegal connections and fruitless and wasteful expenditure, especially in terms of your water and your electricity, as it is a problem? You can just have a bit of detail in terms of that. And then I see that the service sites fell in 2013-14, but they rose radically again in 14-15, which was interesting, so there must have been a reason that the sites were in service in 13 and 14. And then in terms of the EPWP work opportunities, was there a reason that they dropped? And then in terms of the debt management, the debt is of 8 billion and 2.45 billion. They're the same in both years, so that might be a mistake. If it's not a mistake, I think that that's great. But then in terms of the age analysis...
That one specifically, there's been any indication that it was an oversight from their side. So we'll make a pronouncement on it specifically, the one of the debt.
But then in terms of the age analysis, what are we looking at? 90 days, 180 days? Just give us an idea of the age analysis in terms of that outstanding. And I think then I'm done in terms of my question. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kumbi.
Yeah, Chairperson, Honorable Chair, they take all my questions. I'm just left with a question that I want to know. How do you compare your clean audit and a service deliver? How do you come up with, service delivery, you get clean audit. How to compare that clean audit and the service delivery? Because, because in old days, administrators or clerks, they used to give them a logbook. They don't log for the whole year, for the whole month. At the end of the month, they say they cook the books. And the audit cannot see anything that this person didn't go there, was going there. I want to compare here because I'm staying here in Western Cape. Go to Khayelitsha, go to Gugulethu, to all the what to call disadvantaged people. They are still in a mess. But the province getting clean all the time. How to compare that? I want to know, how do you come up with a clean audit, yet the service delivery is lacking on the ground? Thank you, sir. I'm just on with that question that I have.
Thank you very much, Honorable Luana.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. The presenter, let me accept the report that was tabled to the committee by the Western Cape. My problem, Chairperson, to me, the issue is not clear. about the asset register, and it's not clear the report from 2013-2014 about indigenous residents. If you see the Western Cape with the Major Jombes, I don't know the Major Jombes in English.
Sheikhs.
Sheikhs. The number of sheikhs. It's not been identified as there are so many sheikhs, there's so many improvements from those sheikhs. Secondly, as much as the representative has got 30 years at Treasury, this report doesn't reflect the capacity that he has got in terms of doubtful debtors within and the consolidation of indigenous amount that is spent by the municipality.
Indigent
amount.
Okay.
As much as he's comparing his old birth, home birth and so forth, but there is an issue that I want this committee to remind that whatever the Eastern Cape is occurring, it was the apartheid system that tried to undermine the good health of the people of the Eastern Cape. As we understand, that was the labor pool for laborers from all these provinces. Lastly, Chairperson, I don't hear the amount from 2013 to 2014 in terms of depreciations of the assets of the municipality, the amount. I wanted to go straight to his capacity as a 30-person at Treasury, because this is a language of a fraternal corporate language in terms of figurative analysis. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honourable Hoshi Karajan.
Thank you, Chairperson. I felt a bit, you know, disadvantaged because you allow everybody to claim the echelon, and I don't know what to
say.
No, you can just summarize whatever that is.
No. Thanks for the report. They are helping us to understand the municipal performance as expected by ourselves. But I think, Chair, there are just, in addition to areas that colleagues have already touched, that requires to be looked into. I'm not sure if you take, for instance, Chair, both reports on page 4, which spoke about the analysis of municipal performance, committees. In 2013-14, they have stipulated that one ward in Stellenbosch did not, you know, perform as expected, did not establish the ward committee. But coming to 2014-15, I'm not sure whether to leave it to indicate to say all of them have now been performed. Are you saying we must just automatically use our own discretion to say by not mentioning the word any longer, it means it has now been performed? It is something that, because it was, you know, happening in a negative way, as the previous annual report, it was supposed to be, you know, commended on the other one to indicate that we are now, you know, enjoying the status of 100% compliant, if you wanted to say it. The other area, Chair, like my colleague here said on page 5, they spoke about was swelling. I know this was swelling thing. You even had other activities, including the administrations and
towards the solutions and what have you. But it becomes the responsibility of the provincial government to build the capacity of the municipality. It cannot be a perpetual, you know, delinquence forever. We need to make sure that we don't focus and concentrate in where we are doing well only, even where there are challenges. In fact, it's where we should, you know, put much of our efforts and energy to make sure that every citizen in there feel the democratic dispensation we're talking about. You know, the beauty of democracy, Chair, it is to make every citizen, particularly previously disadvantaged and peripheral members of South Africa, to feel belongings, to feel this democracy has got a direct translated meaning to themselves, unlike, you know, reading it over the papers and what have you. And I think much of the focus should have been taken on board to say we move our eyes from, you know, the center stage and to, you know, outside, including the oversteering one. I guess one would love to get detailed reasons why it becomes a delinquent, why they are unable to assist that municipality to perform like other municipalities as they are doing. But an area that, Chair, I thought I should talk to it is chapter 6 in, I'm not sure whether it's the upper slice from both reports in page 6. You do the comparison there, it's a complete descending from, you know, 2013-14 to 2014-15. And then he attached that, reasons being that it's because of the good work they are doing, and they are therefore, you know, seeing an inflow of people moving from where they are feeling not enjoying the services as they were supposed to. And I'm then saying, I think then that is where the department is lagging behind, because, you know, the beauty of the public finance management, it says, it dictates to us to say the head of department should set up systems that will talk to things that are happening, which is talk to the planning. Once you don't get your planning correct, this is what we are going to see. Therefore, it's saying if the trend of, you know, relocations from people where they are not, you know, feeling comfortable on their day-to-day leads to them coming to, and I guess this inflow, it's not only talking about Cape Town, it's talking about Western Cape Province, I want to believe, unless they're saying it's only about Cape Town as a city. But if it's about the entire province, then it brings again, it tricks back the same question of war story. And I've been apologizing about my pronouncement of this name, because I know the Naga fella, once you speak this thing, was direct. If I don't pronounce it well, Chair, help me just put it correct without, you know, being analyzed. Where does he come from? He can't even, you know, call names of cities. It's a problem that I found myself. But I'm saying the issue of planning, it gets exposed here to say our planning does not talk to reality. We are at the comfort zone. We are happy where we are sitting. We found caught napping at the end of the day when we are supposed to shift with the dynamics and the movements that people are forced to. I wanted, Chair, to surely on 2014-15 the audit, you know, outcomes. I think I've got no reason if this is the genuine, honest, you know, opinion, we have to, you know, to applaud it and said let's take it, you know, beyond this and
put one extra mileage and get everything clean. I wanted to say this is what we admire as a country to you know, obtain at all costs. I know that my colleagues here, you know, putting me in between as a sandwich, they would feel I'm saying they're performing well. It's not about them. It's about, you know, real things that we are seeing, and we acknowledge when we are seeing, you know, best practice across the board. But what remains to worry me is the issue that Honorable Tunbi put on the spotlight to say this audit is beauty, but can we then make it to talk to real, you know, life of people on the ground? If you go to Langa, Gugute too, and all those areas, and you give them this performance audit, I'm sure they can blaspheme us now. They can moor us. We'll come here running because you'll go there and tell them that, no, we are doing well. And that person is not going to be like me. You know, they'll blaspheme us, I'm telling you. I would want to make this performance audit to talk to the improvement of a real, you know, way of the life of our people. And life of our people should not be measured about what we have inherited under apartheid. Apartheid has got its own special planning and area of focus where they put every resource. We have got a responsibility as a democratic government to say we want to take South Africa on board, all of it across the board. Everybody should feel I'm indeed living in this, you know, my dignity is back. We have been saying the issue relating to water, it's about life, but sanitation is dignity. We can't, you know, at this, you know, 22 years of democracy, still founding, our people feel I'm still waiting for the democratic bus to stop at my station. The station should be everyday experience bus wherever they are. And I thought that is an area that we need in terms of, you know, being realistic, to focus and not just to focus, deliberately put programs that we can say, if the budget of the province is 3 billion, let's make sure that the entire of 2.5 went to those people and improved their lives so that they come on par with these others. These others, the first, you know, training will then help them to do their own, because they've been enriched by the systems, and I'm not going to be back down. They've been enriched by the system. They can pay and buy everything, including roads to their own places where they're residing. But the poor out there, who we deprive them for, you know, for the past 300 years, we need to do better for them and improve their lives. Thank you, Jefferson.
Thank you very much, Walter Vejani. Much of Ndadeto Vejani has made more of comments, but I think it's important that you qualify that into questions. One, purpose of us having these reports presented to us is to ensure that we give accountability on the performance of the municipality, including the province itself. Two, we need also to do an oversight. We take stock of the state of the municipality, then would also ensure that we go back and ensure that we follow up on all inputs that we have made based on the report. So I'm just saying it. Just to make a comment on the report, as in one was trying to go through it, perhaps you'll clarify the issue of the back to basics. How do you link back to basics to the entire report? Because at no given stage did I pick up where you make mention of back to basic. Two, the report never reflected on the state of Section 139 in the province, particularly Oturen. There were challenges that we know, and that is why Honorable Tovejani correctly said that much as we see challenges, we expect in the subsequent years, I think it was also highlighted by Honorable Chetty, to see more improvements. But bearing in mind that improvements are not expected to be seen as privileges, but improvements are also part of the constitutional obligations in terms of Section 154, where you are obliged as the province to ensure that you give support and you monitor progress and also capacity at the level of the municipality. I'm just saying, what is it that you are doing, particularly around municipalities where there's been deficiencies in the previous year? Moving forward, how do you ensure that continuously you ensure that you give effect of Section 154 of the Constitution? Your report doesn't speak on the issue of informal settlement. We had taken Parliament to the people in Otsioren, Mossel Bay, George. There's been an outcry on the issue of informal settlement. You come to Gugule, to Kayelicha, the first reception that you get when you go towards airport, it's informal settlement. What is it that you are coming up around addressing the backlog, especially the issue of housing backlog? Not only that, Cape Town or Western Cape has been in the news around the issue of toilet systems that are being used, which Honorable Tobejan has correctly said, sanitation is the dignity. We want also to get sense of what is happening, any progress or any challenges, because remember, part of our responsibility as the committee is not necessarily to come and pick up shortcomings and not necessarily enhance our support towards that by either engaging the minister relevant in terms of this. So I'm just saying it, as much as you present to us, don't only put nice things to hear, but also bring forth the challenges where jointly we can uphold the unitary state. The other weakness that one has also picked up is the issue of the ward committee. A decline in terms of the voters in these previous elections. One of the researchers has attributed that to the social distance between the councillors and our communities. And if you check, your report is highlighting only what committees are established. But in terms of the operational efficiency of the ward committee, I think it's important that you get sense, because every time we go out on oversight, we interact with the stakeholders, and it's important that you also get sense of what is the state of affairs around the participatory democracy. Remember, Section 16 of the Municipal System said it requires the municipalities to develop mechanisms and processes that would enhance involvement of the communities. And not only that, if you go also to Section 152 of the Constitution, particularly Chapter 7, two things are appearing there that are key, or principles, or clauses, or sections. The first one is saying to ensure that we effect democratic and accountable government. Then it went further to talk about involvement of our communities on issues that affect our communities. I'm saying we need also to get more sense around such issues. The other important aspect, your IDPs. One of the strategies of the government of the day is to ensure that we bridge a gap between the so-called suburbs to the townships. Your IDP in terms of special development framework, your growth points of the municipalities, does it really integrate the townships to the so-called suburbs or the formal areas? We need to get sense of that. Also key, before I conclude, the state of protest. We know Western Cape was also having a challenge of protest. We want to get sense of whether you are succeeding in terms of keeping that. If you are succeeding, how best are you succeeding that, so that whatever that you have made as an achievement can also work as a best practice to other provinces. For example, in Limpopo, you remember we had Vuami, where there was an outcry, there were violent protests. You know, we just want to ensure that we learn also from the best practices. Lastly, honorable members, is the Western Cape succeeding in terms of bridging the gap between the have-not and the haves? If you can just respond to that, I think we'll appreciate. Over to you.
Now, honourable members, Chairperson, thank you very much for the questions and also the comments. And I think I must say up front, your comments are noted. And I will try to respond to some of the questions, but I must also be honest with you to say that in some of those questions I won't be able to give you a response now. However, I can always come back to the council or to the committee and give them that information at a later stage. So I appreciate your comments. May I just say up front, Chair, that, and I always say this, the Western Cape is not a perfect province. We must understand that. You know, we're trying our utmost best, and we see this as a challenge. And your last question, I want to start with your last question. You asked the question, how then do we bridge this gap between the haves and the have-nots? And it's a very pertinent question. It's a very important question. And I can be honest with you now, in my own mind, I am not sure. I'm honest with you now. Because it's a challenge. I have family members who live in Kaimandi. I don't know if you know Kaimandi. I have family members who live in Nzamo, in the Strand. And if you go there and you visit the people, and you see the conditions, the water running in the streets, then you ask yourselves certain questions. And it makes you worry as a person. And now, to latch onto your question of clean audits and service delivery. I can say to you now, people are not interested in clean audits. They're not clean. I'm honest with you now. This is my view. They're not interested. If I go to my family in Zamo on Kaimandi, tell them, they're not interested in whether the city receive the clean audit. They are worried about their kids, their own situation there. How then do we improve the situation there? And I can tell you now, from the department side, we are fighting, we are in constant liaison with the city of Cape Town to say that, how do we then improve the lives of our people in the townships? In as much as we receive clean audits, in as much as we are trying to establish or say that the best run regional government in the world, what are we doing to improve the situation of the poor in the townships? So, from my side, it is a challenge. And from our side, from the department side, we will continue to engage the city as to how do we improve the lives of our people, especially in those areas that were mentioned here today. It's a challenge, and let's be honest. Furthermore, you need to understand 70% of the people in the Western Cape live in the city centre. 70% of the people living in this province live in the city centre. Only 30% stays in the outlying areas, but 70% is here. So the challenge, Chair and members, is that it's a debate. We cannot shy away from that debate. We cannot. In as much as we are trying to say about we do this and that, that is a debate. Minister Anton Bodel mentioned something the other day, and I went home and I thought about this. He said poverty is catching up with us. And the gap is just becoming bigger and bigger. And what are we doing as a department? He challenged us. He said, what are we doing to improve the lives of the poor? Because if you go to the townships, if you go to Maritzburg, for example, and you see how people live, the conditions that they live in, then you say to yourself, how is it possible that our people still live in these conditions. And I'm not a politician, I'm a civil servant, but all I'm saying, I take note of what you were saying here. And we will take it, I will take it to my principals to say that we need, these are the critical issues that were raised. And I've made notes, you two pages of notes, by the NCOP. And we need to address these issues. How do you get, how do you sort of reduce this gap? How do you bridge that gap, the question that you ask, between the haves and the have-nots? And let me say to you, and I want to work with this, we are in a very fortunate position. We earn salaries, we can afford to buy bread and milk every day, and we can drive fancy cars and nice cell phones and stuff, but there are people out there who are struggling to make ends meet. I work in the rural communities, on the farm areas with the church, and when you go there and you see the conditions of the people, then you say, Lord, have mercy. But also, what difference are we making as civil servants? And I ask my people all the time in our communities, what difference are we making? Are we just gathering, you know, assets every day? Do we share? Do we share with other people? And that is the challenge for this country. My mother used to say, you didn't study for yourself, but you studied. So God put you in a place so that you can improve your life, of your family and others, so that you can make a difference. And that is the challenge here. And I will take, I can assure you, I will take this up with the minister and also with the politicians to say, but how do we improve the lives of our people? We have now achieved clean audits. It's fine. People can't eat and drink clean audits. That is the challenge that we are facing here today. And I'm not trying to patronize you today. I'm saying to you, those are the challenges that we're facing. Those are the honest debates that we must have. We should have. How do we improve the lives of our people? Not only in the Western Cape, in the rest of South Africa. And Chair, I would like to answer some of the questions now. The first question that was asked by Honorable Chetty was the issue of women representation. And I'm going to ask my colleague, Mr. Kamal, to deal with that question.
Thanks, Chair, Honorable Members. With regard to the decline in the appointment or the numbers, I mean, you saw 26% and you saw 21% in the 14, coming down to 14, 15. With regard to the employment equity plans of the municipalities, they're implementing those plans. I mean, we haven't done a sort of a complete assessment of that. However, we've rolled out a mechanism in an electronic system called the compliance system. And part of this compliance system also deals with their employment equity, their various other systems that they need to adhere to as well. So when it comes to the EE aspect of it and the plan itself, they're following the plans. However, when you look at the decline, we also got to take into account the fact that now, and we've got a problem at the moment, right? You've got the regulations on appointment and conditions of employment, regs that have come out on the 14th of January 2014. That's now sort of had a stringent list of competencies that senior managers, Section 56 managers, have to have as well. We've also faced with the MMC, the Municipal Minimum Competency Course, which has become a bit of a dilemma in the Western Cape as well. And it's a competency that not everyone has as well. Then we've also got the upper limits that have come out for senior managers and appointment relating to that. That's also becoming an issue, Chair, especially with the upper limits. At the moment now, the upper limits and the disparities, and we've actually done a study on it, and we're actually battling with COCTA regarding that. Where we've picked up, and maybe I should be raising it here, because maybe then it could be taken up at the national level as well. The MMC has become an issue. You know, the problem is that the pool has become so small for choosing competent people, competent managers, right? And now what we've done is we've added in another sort of legislative requirement, which is a regulation called the Municipal Minimum Competency Course in terms of the MFMA regs. Now, so I could have a PhD in accounting. I could have a PhD in law. But you can't appoint me as a Section 26 manager, or you can't appoint me as a municipal manager, because I don't have I don't have 24 courses or 30 courses, which is listed out there, which to me practically, and I reserve the right to say, doesn't make sense. What we've done is we've gone to, and the municipalities are struggling. At the moment, we are deploying people, Chair. We are deploying persons with the MMC, right? Because a vacancy exists in a municipality, and my colleague can confirm that. Because municipalities can't find people. The person may have an electrical engineer degree, he'll have a bachelor degree in engineering, may have a bachelor degree in public administration, may have a bachelor LLB, bachelor of law degree. However, it's because the person doesn't have the MMC, they can't appoint the person. So what happens? The vacancy exists. And we're currently battling, and municipalities are literally battling with that. And it's something that needs to be taken up at the national level. We've taken it up at the national level as well with Minister Pravin Gordhan. We've done a letter that was raised at the budget forum. And the MEC for Finance in province, Dr. Ivan Meyer, has taken it up to the budget forum as well. But it's become an issue. What we're proposing is saying, let's be a bit pragmatic about this, right? First approach. You've come out with an exemption, right, which lasted until last year. Subsequent to that now, municipalities are struggling to make the appointments. Come out with an exemption again. You know, give the new appointees 12 to 24 months. Let's be practical about it. So that, rule of law, yes, we agree. You need to have the minimum competency. But what we're saying is be pragmatic about it as well. So, you can see municipalities are struggling. The vacancy rate is increasing. We're getting appeals for deploying people with MMCs now. And we at times don't have officials to deploy with the MMC as well. So we're telling the national minister, come up with an exemption. Give the new appointee 12 to 24 months. Second stage, and I think it takes foresight and insight, is that go around to all the tertiary institutions and promote the fact that having an MMC is a requirement. So if you're doing that, the next generation of people that will come into the municipalities have that qualification. So, you know, coming back to the point of 21% and the numbers dropping, that's played an issue with us also. In added fact also, the other sort of regulations that have come into effect, the competencies in terms of the copter rigs, as well as the upper limits that were published as well, played a factor as well.
Can you discover the anti-corruption as well?
Yeah. Chair, regarding the anti-corruption, with those municipalities that were identified in both years, Vito, Oudtshoorn, Prince Albert, Beaufort West, I think we can provide you with the updated details pertaining to that. Let us just get the verification of it, and then we can submit or send it through to the Secretariat of the Committee with updated details for those financial years applicable.
Thanks, Kamal. Another chair and honourable members. Yeah, what we will do, I will go through the questions now. And like Kamal said, where we can't provide answers, we will come back to you on that. Because you will see that some of the questions that you asked, the information, we didn't provide because it falls outside of this reporting period. For example, the Section 139 in Oudtshoorn. But we will provide you with the information where we can't provide you with information. I just want to say...
Can I make a request that you have... remaining time 10 minutes. 5 minutes to respond to questions, and the remaining 5 minutes just to summarize.
Okay. Thank you.
And I acknowledge that day in our miss you are welcome back. Okay. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, may I just say up front, you will see in the two presentations in my methodology slide, in the 2013-14 honourable chair, members, 20 municipalities responded. We sent them the report, and they came back with the necessary comments and stuff. You know, we verify the information with them, because it was apparently accused us of publishing stuff and not verifying the information with them. In the 2014-15, however, you will see there only 8 municipalities responded. The other 22 didn't respond. So that is a concern, cause of concern to us. Hence, Honorable Chetty, some of the information you question rightly, and I understand. But I will try to respond to some of it. CKD in Prince Albert. What we've done now in CKD, there's a shared service. They are sharing, we've appointed a person, and they are sharing that service in terms of internal audit. Okay. Then in terms of Cunnelland and Oudtshoorn, I don't have to go into the detail. We know those two are giving us nightmares, Chair. They are giving us nightmares. I was in Oudtshoorn and Cunnelland the last 2-3 weeks. My wife said to me, might as well stay there just to sort out the problem, because the governance has fallen flat in Cunnelland. And we are minister, myself, the HOD are going to Minister Andries Nel and Minister Van Rooyen to see them about Cunnelland. We spoke yesterday. We are waiting for them to come back with a date for us, but we're going to see them about Cunnelland, because there are some serious issues in Cunnelland.
Okay, can I make a request that they communicate with us around Cunnelland?
Sure.
Yeah. As soon as there's confirmation, just quietly confirm with us, please.
Yeah.
Confirm that with you. In terms of Honorable Engelbrecht, PMS system, the system that we're using in the Western Cape is called the Ignite system. Ignite, right? Now, out of the 30 municipalities, 28 is using the Ignite system. It's only the city of Cape Town who got their own system, the USEP, the SEP system, and then also Swartland, Malmesbury, they're using their own system. And what we're basically doing, Honorable Engelbrecht, to ensure that PMS is cascaded, we give them what we call a PMS grant. We give them a grant. In fact, the Gazette will be published this Friday for this year, where we give municipality. We take 5 a year. We've done about the 17, 20 now. We're almost done with all 30, so that they can cascade it down. We give them a grant, and we monitor their grant on a monthly and a quarterly basis. We set up steering committees to track the expenditure and the progress. Then in terms of ward committees, I'm going to come back to you on that one. I don't have an answer whether we pay them. I'm not sure. I know in some municipalities they give them a stipend, what we call a stipend, but I will have to come back to you on that one. Then the issue of indigence, I will also come back to you on that one in terms of budget spend, because it's not in the report. Budget spend on indigence, I will come back to you. I will provide you with that information. In terms of illegal connections, I will also provide you with a detail. I don't have a detail around that. There are municipalities who are experiencing problems, but I don't have the detail. But I will provide you with that detail. Same with fruitless and wasteful. Treasury, my treasury colleagues, I will liaise with them and also provide you with that information. Also the age analysis here, whether it's 60 days, 90 days, I will provide you with that information. All the financial issues, let me say to you, all the financial issues I will take out of Treasury, and we will communicate with the Secretariat and provide you with the detail.
If and when you'll be providing us with information, there's also a serious challenge of provincial departments that are not paying what is due to local municipalities. Can you also get a consolidated report or individual report of each and every municipality, how much is being
owed?
I think it's also important.
Government
debt. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we have a committee that's dealing with it.
That committee, we're meeting on a quarterly basis, so I will provide you with that report also, Chair. Government outstanding debt report, I just want to make a note here. I will do that. Same with the... Yes, I think I've answered the question about how do you compare service delivery and clean audits, the two. You know, we understand the challenges there, but we take cognizance and we appreciate your comments in that regard. The spend on indigenous municipality, I will also provide you with that. Even the depreciation, that is not in the report, amount of depreciation of municipalities. There was an issue of the ward committees, 354 out of 387 in 2013-14, and then 386 out of 387 in 2014-15. However, we did not provide you with the name of the municipality, the one that is not functional. that I will provide you with that name, because it's no longer Stellenbosch, because Stellenbosch, they've established their board after our intervention, but there was another one that is not false. I will give you that information. Then, I take cognizance of your issue on the inflow from people, and I think, Honorable, you mentioned the planning issue. That's a very important issue that you mentioned. Planning is a problem in municipalities, because they don't make provision for people that's coming in and for, you know, for increases in population, etc., etc. And we have identified planning, urbanization, we have identified that as a major issue in the municipalities. So thank you very much for that issue. Then, in terms of the back to basics, in the report you will see that there is, I've sent the report to 2013-14, not yet. I mentioned the back to basics. We have 10 municipalities in the province who are part of the back to basics. As we speak now, this morning, there's one taking place in Cape Agulhas. The whole team has been deployed there. We had Kannaland, Laingsburg, Oudtshoorn last week. They are all back to basics. I will also provide you with a list of all the back to 10 back to basics municipalities and their support plans, because we have a support plan for each and every back to basics municipality. I will provide you with that information, Chair, as part of the information we will submit to the Secretariat.
Okay, can I make a humble request? Even when you raise issues without following it, we'll just maybe make an attachment. Can you also know the state of municipalities in terms of their categorization of back to basics? Those that are in ICU, I know there's two municipalities that are still in ICU. What is the plan to really assist such municipalities?
Okay. Thanks, Chair. The state of the one of the 139, that the 139 has come to an end, Chair, but it's like I said, it falls outside the reporting period, but I will also provide you with that information on the state of the Oudtshoorn, the 139 in Oudtshoorn. Then informal settlements, the housing backlogs, we will provide you with that information. Some of the information is in that report. You've mentioned the issue of spatial development frameworks and the IDPs. We take cognizance of that. But what we will basically do, we will provide you with those issues that we couldn't address, so that you have a clear, but you also need to give us a timeline to say, we want this information before the 10th, I'm just making the 10th of November, or by the 15th, we need this information. I will appreciate that. Chair, can I just say this in conclusion? Thank you very much for the role that you are playing, because you also have an oversight role to keep us accountable. And that's very important in our democracy. And I don't see it as attack or criticize that you are critiquing us, but it's, the question is, how do we improve? That's the main question. We are here basically to say, fundamentally, it's about how do we improve the life of the citizens and how do we keep the officials accountable. So thank you very much for your role that you are playing in fulfilling your oversight. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I know that a hand of Honorable Chetty. Any other hand, just make your comment or a concluding statement. Honorable Manopole. I'm becoming worried. Can you be Honorable Manopole that I used to interact with, especially in the presence of honorable members that you know, please? Honorable Chetty? And Honorable.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I only want to highlight on the one issue. I would like to engage on the rest, but we don't have time. Chairperson, I will make this very clear. Regarding the MMC, there's a reason why we brought in the MMC. In 2010, National Assembly made it very clear that all Section 56 and 57 municipal officials that are employed must have the basics as per the MFMA. Okay? That was in 2010. That 24-month period you're talking about was granted from 2010. We took it up until 2013. And we said, when you are doing the appointments to all municipal managers and municipal managers and deputy municipal managers, to make sure 56 and 57 employers will have the prerequisite before we employ them. Which meant the current guys had 2 years to get the qualification. Now, Chair, this is where my problem lies. Let me tell you what's happening.
You've got a current Section 56, 57 employee in the municipality without a qualification. That municipality pays them a salary for the entire month, but 1 week out of every month they go for training at a cost to the municipality. Now, in 2013, we went back to National Treasury for another 2-year extension. We're now sitting in 2016. All of the guys that you have employed in the 2013, 2014 should have had these qualifications already because you just employed them after the 2011 elections. You're Section 56% employees on the 5-year contract. So they should have come back for the review with the new qualifications. So I have a problem with that. And I've been seeing this checkers. We can't afford this. We are bearing the brunt of it when we go for Section 139 in those municipalities because the very same officials that we've employed are incompetent. I spoke to you earlier about the frequent waste expenditure. We pay a CFO 1.1 million rand in a municipality. We get Ernst & Young KPMG to go and produce the financial statement, audit statements before the financial year is done at a cost of 1.2 million rand. How can that be right? Our job here is to make sure we exercise our oversight check. So this is why I want you to understand where we come from. When we see this, we have to rectify it. You have to make sure that those municipalities understand there is a reason why we allow them 5 years already on the extension from 2010. Everyone should have had these qualifications by now. And just to defend the chair, the issue was you already had 26 people the year before. You now had 21. You've dropped. It had nothing to do with the MMC. For those people at the 26 would have had the qualification. The very least, the status quo should have remained at 26. That was the issue on that day. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Well said on our chatty, on our Timbi.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I want to say it's my first time to get an official where he can say we are wrong here, when to correct this. My first time together. Most of officials, they defend their territory.
You are protected. Certainly you are protected. Now,
thank you. For instance, when we are talking about city of Cape Town, which is a one city in two cities, where they are poor and they are rich. And really, I appreciate the way you understand. Not to say that we put that, we do that, because you know yourself. You said there are people who are living in Kaman, the people looking in Umzamo, all over. So I think you are the right person to take the message. You are the right person. You are feeling, you know, somebody's feeling that there are people who are not living like us here. Yet our audits are talking another thing on that side. Say clean. But thank you very much for that. We appreciate take this message to your politicians. And what we are doing, as you understand exactly our roles here. That we are not here as hawks. We are not here as criticizing. We try to build together, to put those things together. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you very much.
And
I will check it.
Just for clarity's sake. Are you the chair? You're not the co-chair. Protection, please, chair.
Don't talk direct to the
thank you, chair.
On the podium.
Mine is the point of clarity, chair, because the Honourable Kimby said for the official to make sure he takes it to his politicians in the Western Cape. I'm just confused because Honourable Kimby is part of those politicians that are here from the Western Cape, representing the Western Cape. So surely, chair, he should take it to his caucus and inform them.
Honourable Manopule, I think Honourable Chedi, with due respect, I think Honourable Kimby is talking from his capacity as a select committee member.
Oh, okay, I'm
directing.
I would go, Chair.
No, thank you very much. Honourable Manopule.
No, thanks, Chair. Chair, firstly, maybe the reason why I refrain from participating because of was busy solving something, but the issue that I wanted to raise, I hope that you have raised it yourself, but just wanted to echo it. I didn't get any response, which is important, that we always say that we are in a unitary state. So we must always be, it should be always in the back of our mind, whatever we are doing, in all spheres of government, you must understand the clarity that you are in a unitary state. So whatever that is done and the policies that are adopted, it's the responsibility that all spheres of government are implementing them. Now, when I peruse the presentation and follow it, that disturbs me, that is not speaking to back to basic. That's the one that really disturbs me, saying that now the issue of back to basic is not being responded to. So I thought the time when you compile the report, as much as you wanted to give us a picture, there will be a portion that will speak directly to back to basic. That's why I want to emphasize the issue that we are in a unitary state. Hence we always go to all provinces and see there must be synergy in whatever we are doing, regardless of the political organization that we are in. Always that one should be recalled. The last one that I wanted to say, that I hear that you have acknowledged what Elmer Tumbe has raised, but it seems I understand the position because we're not a politician. With regards to the challenges you are confronted with, myself, and you can't commit yourself with regards to addressing the issue of a financial handling report versus the what we see on the ground. Because of when you go out and go on oversight, we see things that don't speak to what we see in the paper. That is very important. As much as we want to comply, we're not saying that we must not comply, but it should speak to the issues on the ground of our community. So when we raise it to the national department, we want it when we come to the provincial department, it should apply. Last one, Chair. Unlike Honorable Kimbi says, I'm not the first one. He's not the first one that to meet that he acknowledged. We're in Alfred Nzo 2 weeks back. An official, the same person, acknowledging and admitting that we want that such brutal kind of engagement with our politicians to come and keep us to toes. So from the Eastern Cape, so we acknowledge that we always happy as politicians to ensure that when we're confronted with ourselves with such officials who have passion, who are patriotic to this government, that's why we're saying that always that government should be, NDP also says, should be employer of choice, not going to public, but in what we want to see throughout. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Manopole. Honorable members, I think we have engaged thoroughly with the report, and what you must understand, most of the questions that we have posed were political in nature, and that is why it was so difficult for Honorable Kosi to make any form of commitment based on the nature of the question. So in that, I think where he has been able to respond, I think we need to acknowledge with gratitude both of you. You were able to respond honestly. But I think an emphasis on advocacy still remains around the concern of the haves and the have-nots, that gap. And the fact remains, the role of the media in terms of painting Western Cape as a province that is not faced with these challenges that we have had today, it's really disadvantaging our own communities. And I think it's high time where all of us, as correctly said by honorable members, that we need to acknowledge where there are shortcomings, with a proviso of ensuring that we join hands together to improve the lives of the poor people out there. And I think that is the attitude that we should emerge out of this meeting, to ensure that black is black, white is white, red is red,
whatever that you see before you, let's be honest, so that you can be able to confront the challenges. And I think, honestly speaking, we are really impressed in the manner in which you responded to the questions and how you received the comments that were also made. Lastly, the due date for submission of written submissions would concur with the 10th of November as the due date for addressing all outstanding issues. But may I make a humble plea? In your report, there's limitation in terms of comments or reflection around youth and women issues. If you check our country, it's predominantly young people in terms of the population. Would really appreciate to get sense of the efforts that have been made by municipalities in terms of addressing the plight of women and youth in their various municipalities. We know in other municipalities there are youth desk, women's desk, those issues that are there, and also issues of disability. I think if you can also take that into consideration as part of the submissions, in case municipalities did not submit anything, can you quickly facilitate and get sense, because recently there's been a youth policy adopted here in Western Cape, Stellenbosch, if not mistaken, national youth policy. So it means we need also to pride ourselves about such issues, but we'll only pride ourselves if we start to see things being realized. I know the Committee of Honorable Tovejani was dealing with the issue of recognition of traditional leaders. I think it's in a process of being finalized. There's a process of traditional bill where at the end of the day, this matter would be addressed where there's a need for recognition of those that needs to be recognized. I think it's in a process of being finalized. Would perhaps expect more cooperation around such areas where there's been shortcomings. Lastly, LED is a legislative obligation of the municipality in terms of Section 152. If you check part of the reports that they've reflected here, there's been minimum raised around the LED project. Those local economic development that would also enhance or address the poverty, the inequality in our own communities. So we'd appreciate if that particular aspect can also be addressed. But lastly from my side, I think I really wish to thank the men in which you've responded to questions, but I hope Honorable Mtet, who is the whip of the committee, will just make closing remarks in a form of vote or thanks on behalf of the committee. Honorable Mtet.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and all the members, the traditional leaders that we have among us. I also want to thank especially the officials from the Western Cape. Really, I want to echo some of the words that were mentioned by our colleagues here. I don't want to say it's the first time, but you were honest in your presentation. You were also honest when you were answering the questions. You know, there's this tendency in our officials across the board that they always try to cover the side of politics, even if they don't involve in politics. But I believe you're a man of God. And you know what you're doing. And keep it up. Keep it up. Stick to your guns. God will lift you up during the time when the time's arrived. Chairperson, thank you very much the way you have shared this meeting. Your dedication and the way you deliberated and the summary that you have made. I wanted to say on behalf of this committee, thank you very much. God bless. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Can we release the Western Cape delegation? Then we deal with the outstanding matter, which is announcement. But if you feel like remaining, can remain. It's only one item that is outstanding. The oversight visit to KwaZulu-Natal, can you just get a briefing in terms of the preparations? I'm not sure whether it will be Moss doing it or Ndate Nkululeko.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, from my side, I will just deal with the substantive matters related to oversight per your instruction. That administratively, as Chair indicated, we'll be going to a district and a local municipality. And our approach in going to those municipalities, one, we must make sure that South African Local Government Association is invited, and two, make sure that the provincial NYDA is also part of our oversight visit. But we are aware that in terms of the constitution, public participation, the chair also indicated that we must ensure that both the internal and external stakeholders of the municipality are invited to be part of the oversight visit. I'm aware that my colleague with the Chief of Logistics has just now go outside. I will now give over to Mr. Mangweni just to indicate members in terms of logistical arrangement. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chairperson. Good day, honorable members. We were planning to organize logistics as follows. There is a security meeting Tuesday. Security is taking the slot of COCTA Tuesday. A meeting is commencing at 10 o'clock, probably until 1. Sorry, ma'am?
Next Tuesday.
Next week, Tuesday, yes. The plan is that we leave after the security meeting. We go straight to Durban. We get accommodation in Durban city center. We travel to these two municipalities that we are going to be visiting, which when I calculated the distance between where we are going to be accommodated to these municipalities, we are looking at a three-hour half drive. Which is, if we were to look for another option of accommodation nearby these places, we would be faced with issues of discomfort of members, because we are talking about rural places that are nearby the place where we are going to be visiting. Hence, I suggest Durban. Durban, there are various options, and for your comfortability as members, I strongly suggest that we opt for the option of Durban. The plan is that we leave Tuesday, we come back Friday. There is a piece of paper that I was circulating to get members' details for itinerary purposes. All members have finished that. I think I have said all. Thanks.
The main reason for us staying in Durban is because concluding programs of the oversight would entail SALGA, which is supposed to be met in Durban, and also the provincial NYDA. There's been a call for concern around the role of NYDA in the province. Honorable Mteto.
No, Chairperson, I think I must discuss this outside the meeting. Okay.
So that's a reflection of the preparations. I can see postures of appreciation. Please, honorable members, so in that note, honorable members, we are just saying this is a reflection of the arrangement that have been made. Because honestly speaking, we felt and deemed it fit that many a times you go to provinces,
we only deal with one aspect and not have an opportunity to interact with other part of the responsibility of the committee. So we felt that it would be proper that you also couple the Section 139 interventions, because wherever we appear, we are now known as Section 139 committee. And we are not a Section 139 committee. Instead, we are a select committee of COCTA, Public Service and Admin, Women, Youth and IGR. So in essence, we must live up to that expectation. Honourable Member?
Mr. Chair, I just need to check in terms of the date. We were informed that next Tuesday. You're not talking about Tuesday the 15th? But it can't be next week. We've got questions to the Deputy President that's coming.
Questions when?
It must be the week of the 15th when we're supposed to be going to Buffalo City for overtime.
Speak to the chair.
Am I confused?
No, what is happening? Remember, issue of oversight is a compliance issue. We have got also timelines attached to it. And many a times, whenever there's intervention, a notice will be served to the office of the chairperson, Metandi Mudise, who will refer the matter to the committee in terms of Rule 101. Then the committee would make a written submission to the Chair of Chairs, Honorable Nyambi, and the Chief Whip, indicating this particular aspect. So in this case, wherever we go, especially on issue of compliance, there's a broader consultation, but I think would look into it. When is the questions to the Deputy President?
Next week, Thursday. Sorry, Mr. Chair, we're saying there is 2 weeks of oversight. That's next week and the week thereafter.
That week, they're supposed to be taking Parliament to the end. And you know, we did this similar mistake with Oates Warren. Mm-hmm. They were taking Parliament to the people when we were preparing ourselves to go down there, because we said, hey, let's give it a chance. We postponed taking Parliament to the people, and the entire exercise of the Section 139 was also compromised. So I'm saying it issues of compliance, I think let's leave it to the office bearers, but in our case, we deemed it fit that you must honor issues of compliance. But in case there's any further engagement on this, can any person engage with the chairperson of the committee? Then we'll take it there. Please. The last issue, there was a concern raised by Honorable Engelbart regarding the issue of deficiency from the side of administration. I didn't want us to make a debate around this matter. I felt we should just engage and clarify. I think she was specific to the notice itself, so I would wish Ndate Manele just to clarify the process on how we engage and communicate with any stakeholder, including the provinces, as and when we invite them to these sessions.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I'm going to deal with this matter both with the Khartoum, Mpumalanga and Western Cape jointly, so that I provide clarity to members. When we crafted a committee program, provincializing officers of both provinces are part of the technical committee of NCOP. The dates of the committee were there. But with regard to Western Cape, where the confusion came was when we extended the focus in terms of presentation. The discussion that we had with the chair was saying, Moss, in terms of the rules of parliament, the Section 47 reports focus only on 2013-2014. And she was saying, we are looking retrospectively. What we need to do is to add another period, which was 2014-2015. And that, in terms of communication to Western Cape government, caused a little bit of confusion. But we are, from our side, I think in the spirit of honesty, we acknowledge the fact that the change of focus did not give the department enough time. But with regard to Mpumalanga, members will recall, we communicated from Mpumalanga with regard to our oversight visit. The department did not turn up. And that week on 22nd, we were supposed to have a briefing from Mpumalanga. Unfortunately, we had a joint committee meeting with the portfolio committee. And this one, when we communicated with the province, they had already an engagement with Portfolio Committee on Water Affairs and Sanitary. But we're informed, but subject to verification, that even that meeting was cancelled. So I'm saying we understand the concern raised by Honorable Engelbert, but the change of focus was the one that in a way caused this kind of a misunderstanding. Thank you.
And I think you would recall, Honorable Members, it's for the first time that we experienced this incident. Many times it happens on our side where we are expecting people and they are unable to honor it to residents known to them. So in most instances, administrative-wise, we are always on our toes to ensure that we comply and not really disadvantage people, because we understand, as and when you appear before the committee, you need to prepare, because anything that would be raising would be taken as if you are under oath. So in that case, we would not deliberately disadvantage them. But we felt, honestly speaking, you can't deal with 2013, 2014, when you're already in 2016 and leave 2014, 2015. So it's clear it's a backlog that needs to be addressed. So in that context, that is why we felt and deemed it fit that we cater for both 2013, 2014 and 2014, 2015. But in case where it's been seen in that notion that perhaps it was administration deficiency, I think Honorable Moss has clarified the issue, and I think everyone is comfortably addressed. That is where you use comfort, not accommodation, and say it's comfort for honorable members. I think that one was out of context. We have rearranged for the simple reason of us accessing the stakeholders nearby the venue where we'd be seeking to be accommodated. Honorable members, let me adjourn the meeting. Thank you very much.